Well, our thanks to the drama team and our thanks to the Hovo class again for a great meal. Chili's and Mediterranean latte. I mean, you just can't beat that. And there is dessert to come. We're staying with our theme, the best for last. So dessert will be there. And we are doing a story this evening. It's a great story. Again, Jesus at dinner, and we're at the home of Simon the Pharisee. And it is a PG-13 story, what can I say? But it's also sweet and beautiful. So listen to this story. We're in Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, so she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed him, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him, what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave debts of both. Now, which of them would love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You've judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Well, may the Lord bless his word to your hearts and minds this evening. Well, we're at dinner at the home of Simon the Pharisee. Now, one of the questions that people often ask is this the same story that's in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark and the Gospel of John as well? And some people think that it is, and other people think that it is not. I would suggest that I don't think it is the same story, and there's a number of reasons for that. Now, we do, in both cases, have a person by the name of Simon, who is the owner of the home, who's, you know, invited people there. But in one case, it's Simon the Pharisee. In the other case, it's Simon the leper. Now, if you were a leper at that time, you could not be a Pharisee. So, you know, there were lots of Simons, even as there was Simon Peter. We don't have this woman's name, but both women. And we know she's called a sinner. Mary and Martha, the other home, is never referred to in that way. Not saying that it couldn't be. The other thing is that in this case, the location is different. One is in Bethany and one is in Nain. They are a distance away. And so there's some other things, too. They could be the same, but I think it's unlikely that it is. And they both have different lessons. And Luke has chosen this one, I think, because Luke's audience is Greek. They were neither Jewish nor well, they were Christian, but they had become Christian, and so this might appeal to them more. But I think beyond that, it's a powerful truth to share with us. And so I want to dive in here and just think about, for a moment, Simon the Pharisee would have been a person who was important in society, had a great home, and was hosting a dinner party. The other day, Savannah and I were driving down one of the streets in Lafayette, and I said, "You got to take a look at that house up there because you can only see it when the leaves are off the trees." And she said, "Oh my God, Dad, that's a huge. It's like a castle up there." And I said, "No, it's a castle." And she said, "Who lives there?" And I told her who lived there. And I said, "Who was?" And I said, "That stuff. You know, half that house was flown in from Europe or shipped from Europe to make that house." And I started telling her a little bit about the house. And she said, "Dad, have you ever been there?" I said, "No, but I have no." Some people have gone to some of the parties, and she said, "Dad, you mean they have parties there, and we're not invited?" And I said, "Yeah. Imagine that, A-listers like us." We both cracked up. So Jesus was with the A-listers at an A-lister's house, and when you think about Simon, he had all these things. has a beautiful home. He's a religious leader. He's an important leader in society. Would have probably been a business leader too. But here's what I want you to notice about him. He's got a sour attitude. Simon's sour attitude, right? You know people like that? We're talking about food and dining room table. A sour attitude. And why is his attitude sour? Well, his attitude is sour because he's self-righteous. You know people like that. I mean, sometimes, you know, we drift in that direction where we shouldn't be. But he thinks he's better than probably everybody in the room. And certainly this woman who comes in, probably uninvited, okay? So she shows up in this place with nice friends, nice food, nice home, and Simon's sour attitude. But look at the attitude of this woman. The sinful woman has a sweet attitude. I believe that she'd been forgiven before this by Jesus, but she shows up and is identified only as a sinful woman. Sometimes the gospel writers leave someone unnamed so that we can put ourselves in the place of that person. So she shows up and she's full of shame and guilt, but she has, unlike a sour attitude like Simon, she has a sweet attitude. I think that makes all the difference. Her attitude is one of humility and appreciation and love for Jesus and what he's done for her. And she has one of the most extravagant acts of gratitude and love in all of Scripture. And she begins to, just from behind, they would have been reclining, she begins to weep, and she begins to weep over Jesus' feet. And then she begins to wipe off Jesus' feet with her hand. And so she's washing Jesus' feet with her tears, probably, you know, undoubtedly something that hadn't been planned. And it's a beautiful and touching moment. And then she takes an alabaster jar of perfume. The jar itself would have been very, very expensive. And she opens that, breaks the seal, and begins to pour this sweet, fragrant perfume over Jesus' feet and anoints him in that beautiful way. And then then chaos sort of erupts. And Simon says, look at this woman. You know, and Jesus, in that moment, tells that story where a moneylender had someone who owed him 500 denarii, another person owed him 50 denarii. Denarii would have been about a day's wages. So 500 days wages, you can calculate it however you like, versus 50 days wages, and neither could afford to repay the moneylender. And so the moneylender forgave both, and Jesus looks at Simon and says, who would love him more? And Simon answered, the one who owed him more. And then Jesus points at this woman and says, her love is great. And it's so beautiful in that moment because it would have been the obligation of the homeowner, if not to have done it, then to have one of the servants do it, to offer ceremonial washing of the hands and also the feet. Remember, people traveled in dirty roads, dusty roads with sandals, and it would have been dusty and dirty. And then also in this kind of time when people would be sunburned a lot of time, they would put oil as a healing kind of an ointment on their head and on their feet. And Jesus looks at Simon and said, since the time I've been here, you've not offered me water to even wash my own hands, let alone my feet. You've not given me any oil, nor shown much affection. But this woman, from the time I've come here, has not stopped washing my feet with her tears and wiping them with her hair. And instead of not even pouring oil, it's relatively inexpensive, she's poured this expensive perfume, maybe the most expensive and treasured thing that she had, on my feet. And I think that's such a beautiful moment because, as I said, this is one of the most extravagant moments of gratitude in all of Scripture. And Jesus says, in this beautiful way, your sins are forgiven, your faith has saved you, go in peace. And so for each of us this evening, I'd like you to maybe have a little attitude check yourself. Are you maybe in the place of sour Simon? You might be going through the right motions, but you know, have you become a little self-righteous in life for what you've accomplished or the status that you're in or maybe the possessions that you have? Or are you more like this sweet woman? Yeah, she's fallen short, but she knows the one who can make things right, who's given her grace and love and forgiveness, and in this moment has this extravagant act of gratitude. And so I challenge us to think for a moment, maybe in the shortcomings of our own life, One, first, you know, attitude check time. Sweet or sour, which are you? Don't look at your neighbor, look at yourself. Don't look at your spouse, your significant other. Look at yourself, right? And then to ask yourself maybe, where do I need to hear Jesus say, your sins are forgiven, your faith has saved you, go in peace. Peace that is holistic, beautiful, that makes us right with God, it makes us right with our neighbor, right? And then finally, maybe this. Not out of obligation, but I mean, this is the journey to Lent. When we think about Jesus giving the greatest gift of life and love ever on Calvary for us, willingly, freely, that we might know God's grace and forgiveness and love, where might you offer God an extravagant act of kindness to someone else? Where might you offer an extravagant, unmerited act of kindness to someone? I don't know what that is for you. I'll let you figure it out for you. But I think that Jesus would whisper, and certainly Luke would whisper, that this woman has a lot to teach us. She may not have been as educated as everyone else at the dinner, didn't have as much money, certainly didn't have the prestige and social status, but she knew and experienced Jesus' affirmation in a way that no one else in the room did. And Lucas so often does, highlights women, or one of the things he highlights, and also this kind of a spiritual attitude or prayerful attitude. Luke highlights her in a way that is gracious and beautiful and tender and loving. And Jesus shows us beautiful, accepting response. So with that, I'd like us to think about, oh, I need some help with some handing out. Maybe Clay, can you help me out? Some of our food for thought questions. And then we have a litany that we'll do. And then after the drama, we'll do the song. Is that good? Yes. All right. Food for thought. Where in your life do you feel inadequate and need to feel welcome at the table with Jesus? Where in your life do you need to hear Jesus' words of forgiveness? Go in peace. Where in your life do you need to share the fragrance of forgiveness with others? What extravagant act of love and kindness might you offer as a blessing to Jesus? And who in your life that is treated like an outcast needs a friend, where you can be a friend? And where in your life is there someone who feels like an outcast that you might befriend and even have dinner with? I invite you to join together in the litany of prayer that is in your bulletin. Let me think that you have come in Christ to share life with us. Thank you to have shared times of weakness and heartache with us. Lord, we thank you that you share times of joy and celebration with us. Lord, we thank you that you share times of fasting and feasting with us.
Lord,
help us to see the need around us and be willing to share. Lord, bless and multiply that which we give. Lord, help us to be good stewards of all that you have given us. Lord, bless us that we might be a blessing to others. Grant us your forgiveness and grace. Put in me a clean heart, O God. And restore to me the joy of your salvation. Amen.